This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy, buttery little Wednesday. It is your sports bros. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Six right over there. Look at him.
So much going on in the world of sports.
No, there isn't.
No. Chet Holmgren got paid. Does that do anything for you?
No, it doesn't. There isn't much going on. But our old boss, the mustache, Jack Hutchinson, used to always say, there is always something going on in sports. And while technically true, I will say, as a sports radio host for the better part of the last 20 years, and I'm guessing you will agree with me as we have been alongside one another that whole time.
Yes.
This is one of the slowest summers I have ever experienced.
Yeah, we need some sort of scandal. Normally, there's something good that happens, like some athlete, like, you know, gets arrested or.
Well, there was the one magical summer where, and I forget what year it was, but the Tim Donaghy betting scandal happened.
Yeah.
But also, Mike Vick. The dogfighting thing, that happened all like in the same time frame.
Yeah,
that
we're sitting around like all of a sudden I was like, what?
Dude, our shows were done for like 2 months. It was great.
Tim Donaghy, react. Now we got Angel Reese on the cover of an NBA video game and people freaking out about it.
It's crazy.
Like, what?
It's crazy. But that's also fun for us because we get to do things that, well.
Yeah, you get hot ODOT talk.
Exactly. I also have, I want to tell you that coming up later on our show, I have more on Lake Oswego versus us pores.
Ooh, I do like that.
It's so funny. Yeah. This whole bit is just really
Someone
funny
Someone needs
me.
To organize the Lake Oswego Caddy Day. I mean, we really need to make it happen this summer.
Well, there's one guy that ain't having that.
Nope.
I will tell you who that is coming up in the club. In the club. I teased this by saying that I have to take an L on a subject.
Yeah, talk to me.
A sports subject.
For the first time ever.
I have to admit defeat on something. Now, see, like when you're in sports talk, you know, I think people assume that you have a big opinion about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys do.
Sure.
I find those guys kind of nauseating. Really,
they're very hot takey.
Well, there's just like, how could you possibly be that passionate about everything? You just can't.
Yeah.
It's some of it's fake.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It gets listeners. I'm a little bit more the approach of, look, there are some things I don't know about. I'll tell you about it. If I didn't watch a game, I'll tell you. If I don't care, I'll definitely tell you.
Yes, you will.
But then there are other things where I'm dug in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I feel strongly about this. And one thing I felt strongly about that I must come clean that I am defeated on is that the Big Ten and the Ducks going to the Big Ten was going to be so much tougher than the old Pac-12.
I do remember that, yes.
I fought Joey on it.
Yep.
And
yeah, you were
dug Harrington in. Was like, dude, it's the same thing. He's like, I think his point is, who, like, Indiana was actually good this year, but so that's a bad example. But like Purdue or
Illinois, Minnesota.
He's like, that's all this. My thought was in college football that if you go to the Big Ten, I think it's going to be deeper in the middle. You know, like the top heavy teams, you know, obviously Oregon can hang with Ohio State. They beat Ohio State.
Yeah, last two times. Last two regular season times. Playoffs.
Slow down there.
But
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, top heavy, all conferences have really good programs
at
the top.
You got to go through some big boys.
But I was thinking that they moved to the Big Ten. I think it's going to be tougher week to week playing in the Big Ten. At least I thought that. I was dead wrong about that. Dude, the Big Ten sucks.
Well, to be fair to you, I don't like making any sort of sweeping judgments off of 1 year. I do think last year when you watched Oregon kind of buzz their way through that conference, you know, Wisconsin was a game that there was a, you could say, gave them some challenges. They didn't play particularly well.
Yeah, but
that,
how many times did Oregon in the Pac-12 just have
exactly? And that was like, and that's kind of my point. Like, you're on the road. You're on the road at Arizona State. So, I mean, we'll live to see if that middle of the conference ends up being, you know, problematic year after year after year, or if Oregon just is above that. The one thing I would say is going to the Big Ten and having brought USC with you, I do think that when you were in the old Pac-12, right, you had to go through USC, you had to go through Utah, and let's say Washington, right? Would you say on average, Stanford was there for a bit, right? Give Stanford. Yeah. That was your, I would say most year to year, those were your core, the big boys, right? And I think in the Big Ten, having to go through USC, which you brought with you, still there, Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan, I do think that is
it's tougher.
That's tougher.
Yes.
But yeah, I
but again, just because the top is tougher
doesn't mean
the whole league. I thought the league was just going to be, it was going to be much, I thought the Ducks were going to get tripped up in places that you just took for granted in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Or
and like I said, as this goes along, you may find that Nebraska and Wisconsin and teams like that end up being more challenging. I just think in college football, I think there's about 12 to 13 teams on any given year that are in one category. And of that 12, there's three or four that are actually different. The really, really top heavy. And I just don't think there's any difference.
Everything else is the same.
Everything else is
the same. Well, that's what Joey Harrington was always saying.
And I think he's, I do think that will bear out.
And I was like, I don't know. I just think there's more of them in tougher places. You get in cold weather.
Yeah.
Big Ten on the road is a little tougher. They play better defense.
Well, it is longer road trips. It is colder weather. So again, as the years go on, that may prove.
It may be. That's true.
That may prove.
But last year, dude, the Big Ten was, not only did it, I mean, generally suck.
It didn't give you a lot of
it
pushback.
Wasn't any better than the Pac-12,
but
what I'm saying.
But I will say that if I had a choice between.
It was not only just kind of bad.
Yeah.
It was boring.
Yeah.
It was not as exciting as the Pac-12.
Yes.
And I think we kind of knew that because of the styles.
Yes.
But that it was like, this is not all it's cracked up to be. I get it is because, it comes down to money.
Mm-hmm.
Why you jump to the Big Ten. And you get to play big-time games and at Penn State and Ohio. You know, I get the top part of it. But the rest of it is garbage.
Yeah.
The Rutgers, the Northwestern, the Maryland, the Minnesota, the Purdue. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's actually more terrible than the Pac-12 because it's more boring.
Well, and it's also bad that you weren't used to seeing. Sometimes the garbage that you see,
you covet. Because one time 10 years ago, they jumped up and beat you.
Yeah.
So you respect them more.
Yeah. There's that. Like, if no offense to some of those teams, but if you watched some Washington State, some Cal, some Arizona football over the years, there's some really
bad, but I think the bad was like Saturday night, 55-49 double overtime was awesome.
Yeah, there's an idea out in the West. You sling it around a little bit.
The Iowa-Illinois 13-10 is not.
I'll tell you what, though. If you asked me, this is what I was going to say. If you said, who would I want to go on the road in December to play? Would I want to go on the road and play Cal or Arizona? Or would I want to go on the road and play, let's say, Iowa or Nebraska?
Well, Iowa's pretty good, though.
I know. I would much rather play a West Coast. I do think going into cold weather in November and December, as the years go on, some of those may end up being problematic. But for the most part, I tend to think that the Joey Harrington theory of once you get past a certain point, everyone's the same. And I played in one of those conferences where we played 2 to 3 teams every year that were pretty good, right? Our schedule at BYU was usually one big top 10 to 15 team. We would play Notre Dame. We played Florida State. We played Alabama. We played Washington, right? We played one of those teams. And then we would play 2 other decent teams. We played Cal, we played Virginia, Mississippi State, teams that were considered kind of middle of the road power conference. And then we would play, our Mountain West schedule. And I played enough of those games. When you played a Florida State, we played Florida State when they won a national title. You're like, oh, that's different. Like immediately. Sean Alexander at Alabama. You're like, oh crap, that's different. There's a reason why they went to they ended up playing in the Orange Bowl that year or whatever. But playing Cal, playing those teams like that, playing Virginia, playing Mississippi, they were no different than us. And we were in the Mountain West. You know, but if you put us in those conferences, like you get beat up. Like you saw it when Utah came over to the Pac-12. You had to take your lumps for a little bit. If Boise State were to come in, you would take your lumps for a little bit. But for the most part, when you recruit at that level, recruiting at a level between like number 20 and number 40, there's no difference. Then it comes down to coaching. It comes down to player development. It comes down to styles. But for a team like Oregon, now, if for a team like Washington State or someone, Oregon State joining the Big Ten, they may find it more problematic. But for Oregon, Oregon's beyond all that. Oregon recruits at a top 5 level.
Yeah, they're different now.
So I think they've risen above that. I think to another team joining the Big Ten, I'll take BYU. If BYU went from the Big 12, where we were good last year, we were competitive, damn near won the thing. If you put us in the Big Ten, I think we would notice it a much bigger problem than Oregon joining the Big
Ten. Well, yeah, and that might be part of it. And maybe over time it does prove to be tougher because of what you're saying. And Oregon's not quite as good and they trip up. I just felt like there were way more pitfalls. And again, schedules aren't balanced. They're different every year. Yep. Sometimes you miss some of these bad teams. Sometimes you miss some of the good teams. So maybe over time it will just all even out. But I just really, I just thought, man, there's going to be some scary games. Yeah. And there really weren't.
No.
Like, shockingly not. Like, when Illinois finished 4th in the league.
Yeah.
And they came to Autzen, dude. They were terrible. Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
Indiana, Oregon would have, I think Oregon would have pounded Indiana.
Agreed.
Then it's just about Penn State and Ohio State. It's the Iowas and the Nebraskas and maybe a trip to Minnesota or a trip to, Wisconsin was close. Mm. You know, it's those types of games that I thought there were just more of them in the Big Ten than in the Pac-12. But that still may prove to be true over time. It's just last year it wasn't, and it made me want to come clean that, dude, it's the old. I miss the old Pac-12, first of all.
Yeah.
And more than I thought I would. And I had a little too much respect for the Big Ten and the depth of the Big Ten. I just did. Those teams are not that good.
Yeah.
They're just not.
I mean, I looked like UCLA was the definition of meh. And UCLA lost to Minnesota by a field goal. They beat Rutgers by a field goal. They beat Nebraska by a touchdown. They beat Iowa by a field goal, but they lost to Washington. Like,
yeah, that's insane.
UCLA is not great, and yet UCLA was, they were fine. They were a 500 football team, including some wins over the
Big
Ten.
Well, they went 5-7.
Yeah.
But they kind of got it together at the end. Yeah. Right? Weren't they really bad?
Yeah, they were bad early.
And then
they kind of figured it out.
By the way, on this note, there is an SEC quarterback that stirred up a little controversy when he was talking about this. This very thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
actually,
he was
recently.
He was peeing in people's Cheerios.
And we will get to that coming up. And something else I had to tell you about. I get to bitch about Juan Soto.
Yeah, this Juan Soto hate, I won't stand for
it. Yeah, there's some Juan Soto hate coming up.
Yeah, well, prepare for me and to if you lob it back at you.
If you weren't, you're going to be a Juan Soto homer.
Yeah, I am.
And if you weren't, you would agree with me.
No. Make the argument. Well, it's not an argument. Who was the player of the month?
I have no idea.
Let me give you a hint. The National League Player of the Month?
Well, it has nothing to do with how good or bad he is.
Juan Soto.
It's how big of a douche he is. And this you can't argue against.
I like the Juan Soto shuffle.
And that's coming up on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Well, last segment, I was taking the L on thinking the Big Ten was going to be tougher and so much tougher than the Pac-12. It's really not, at least not right now. There is an SEC quarterback who agrees with me.
Yeah, he was talking some smack. I know the SEC media days are next week, and my guess is he's not going to back down from those comments.
Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia.
Yeah. Is weird because it's coming from Vanderbilt of all places.
Totally. Slow your roll, kid.
Yeah.
I know he's kind of a fun little upstart player, but.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, we make a lot of conferences, and I don't know. Obviously, whatever conference you think, like the Big Ten thinks they're a great conference. Big 12 is saying, oh, we're the deepest conference.
Well, the Big Ten is a great conference. I'm not bashing the Big Ten as much as I'm just saying I kind of overvalued it, but it's still a great conference. It's one of the two big boys.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's better than the Big 12. It's better than the ACC.
Look, we can all admit that again, the top heaviness of the SEC, year in and year out, and the players in the NFL, the SEC is the best conference.
No
but,
question.
But the Big Ten's won the last two national championships, and,
but
you know.
I think that, I don't know, I just feel like, I hate to defend the SEC.
I've defended it for years.
It's just, I've always said it's the NFL, mm-hmm. it's the SEC, and then it's the rest of college football. They are in a different category. The Big Ten always gets lumped in with the SEC. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. And it's not really that close. And Diego Pavia said it. And he said it on Bussin' with the Boys. Mm-hmm. We've got Will here, so I'm sure he knows what that is. That perked him right up.
Well, we've talked about Bussin' with the Boys many a time.
Well, I know, but yeah. Will's here, and he probably
his hat's on backwards, and he sure yeah. loves Taylor Lewan.
Yeah. Big fan of the Boys yeah. and Will and Taylor.
Yeah, there you go.
So they're Big Ten guys, right? Yeah. One of them went to Michigan.
In Nebraska.
Michigan and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And they had Pavio on their podcast, or Pavia, mm-hmm. what'd I say?
I think we know who you're talking about.
Are you listening to anything I'm saying?
I am listening to what you're
Diego
saying.
Diego Pavia, mm-hmm. he said, you want to play with the best, you don't want to play with the Big Ten, you ignore those calls, and you know that. Then he said, but you've got to think about this, too. He said, the SEC is like nothing else. Okay, the Big Ten, you have Ohio State, Oregon. The SEC, it's week after week. You're going to get beat on. The Big Ten, you're not going to get beat on with the Purdue, Nebraskas.
Well, and again, there's nuance. What he's saying has an element of truth to it, but let's... The fact that Ohio State and Oregon and Michigan can play with anyone. And if you want to throw Wisconsin, you want to throw Penn State in there, you know, those are all fine. Like if those schools went to the SEC, they wouldn't just fall off the radar.
Well, I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying it's the depth. And he's right. Like you can't argue with him on it.
But you also don't like I want to pull up.
Hold on. He continues. He says the best pass rushers are from the SEC. He said, Abdul Carter, you have one guy, one or two guys in the Big Ten. I think he's selling short, the guys at Oregon and the guys at Ohio State. But
yeah.
He said, when you play in the SEC, you'll be playing just a rando team, a South Carolina, whomever. South Carolina was pretty good, but sure. You know what I mean. And their pass rushers are freaking NFL draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, and he's right about that.
There are
You do not see that week to week. In most leagues.
There are more NFL players that come out of the SEC.
By a factor of a billion.
100%. But like I would come back. Like if I'm looking at Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt played Virginia Tech, Alcorn State, Georgia State, Missouri, who wasn't any good. Then you got Bama. Bama was good. Kentucky, Ball State, and Texas. So here we are into November, and you have played two teams. You've played Alabama, who was very good, didn't make the playoff, and you played Texas, who was very good. Then you got Auburn, who was not very good. South Carolina was. And then you finished hard with South Carolina, LSU, and Tennessee. That's a tough. South Carolina could have made the playoff. LSU, even though LSU wasn't great, LSU is always a good team, and Tennessee. That's a rough go. But if I'm going to pull up Oregon's, Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State, UCLA, Michigan State, right? And then you played Ohio State. You played Illinois, you played Michigan, you played Wisconsin, and then you played Penn State in the Big Ten title game. You can make the argument that at Vandy played one, maybe two games that were it's a more challenging schedule by one or two games.
Okay, but comparing two teams from one year that's not the exercise in proving his point. The exercise in proving his point, I think, goes back to, and some of it's changed now because the SEC, because schedule, these conferences have expanded so much.
You don't play everybody.
That you don't play everybody. And so you can, in any given year, get an easy schedule in the SEC.
Absolutely.
Or a very hard schedule. But I think it goes back to the days of when everybody played everybody.
Yeah.
And it was a meat grinder, uh-huh. And I just don't think there's any arguing that in college football, but yet people still try to argue that.
Well, because people get bitter and people get, you know, tired of listening to it, and the SEC can pound its chest because the SEC, you know,
and it should.
SEC has titles. It is the toughest league, but the notion that none of those other schools could compete is the one that I kind of laugh at.
What do you mean? What other schools?
Well, like, if you took a school... And they said the same thing about Texas.
Oh, he's talking about like what he said about Purdue and Nebraska.
Yeah, like none of those Purdue and Nebraska. This again, those you couldn't if you put Purdue and Nebraska in the Pac-12 or you put them in the Big 12, nothing would change. They're average programs. Well, one's an average program, one sucks. That's not going to change, right? That's just those schools do not. I'm not going to say they don't matter, but they're essentially cannon fodder. They're all the same. But the idea that, like, Texas, right? Texas was in the soft-ass Big 12 for years. And people were like, well, when Texas goes to the SEC, Texas has been just fine, right? Clemson plays in the soft-ass ACC. If Clemson went to the SEC, Clemson would be fine. If you took Ohio State or Oregon and you moved into the SEC, they'd be fine. And so that's the part where I roll my eyes at the idea that the big bad SEC is just so scary that the elites can't compete. This is, we just, in my opinion, you have to change your way of thinking between the real teams, the elite programs, and everyone else. There's tiers to it. Tier one, tier two, tier three, and then like,
yeah,
the bottom tiers.
I agree.
And there's a little more tier one and a little more tier two in the SEC than there is anywhere
else.
Well,
that's his point. I don't think he's talking about the elite teams. He even admitted Ohio State, Oregon, really good. I think what it is in the SEC, that's inarguable is the Kentucky, outside of Kentucky, who you could even argue they don't.
Oh, they're not a bad.
Like
team.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing up the SEC programs that you could make a case go straight into the same category of the Purdue's and Nebraska's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what you're saying.
Yes.
The SEC has maybe four programs that fall into that. The Big Ten has like 12.
Sure.
Okay? The SEC, you could put Kentucky in there,
mm-hmm.
maybe Mississippi State,
yeah.
maybe Arkansas, and maybe Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
Okay? Those four. Everybody else,
yeah.
any given year, could be silly nasty. Ole Miss, LSU, Auburn,
yeah.
Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri.
But I guess I would, again, if I'm just playing devil's advocate, I agree essentially with the point you're making.
Well, it's not me, it's him.
Well, him.
Well,
yeah,
actually, I agree with him.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's, you can always frame the argument in different ways to help your points. But I think what he is saying at its core, it doesn't matter how you frame it, you can't really defend the argument against it.
No, I will, and I again, I
you're doing a good job of trying that.
I have defended the SEC saying it's the best, but I just think the level at which something can be the best without it being God, right? Like, this isn't like when you have two heavyweights slugging it out, or you have a championship fight. It's not always when they get done fighting, there's one winner and there's one loser. It's not always, oh my God, that guy just mopped the floor, then it wasn't competitive. Sometimes it's like, hey, the difference between one and two and three is pretty close. And the SEC is the heavyweight champ. I just think there's a lot. I think that gap between them and the elite teams, whether that be Florida State, whether that be Clemson, whether that's Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, that gap is way smaller than anyone else in the SEC wants to realize. I think the gap between tier two, now where I will agree with the gap between tier three is probably a big, that's probably the big jump. The bottom third of the SEC is probably better than the bottom third in a lot of those others, even though I put them all together. And to the SEC's point of all these good teams, every year you can't have it. Like, Auburn can be a good team. Auburn sucks and has sucked for a number of years. Texas A&M sucks and has not been good in a long time. LSU the last couple years has been very average. They just have.
Yeah, see, but okay, I would push back and say that Auburn and Texas A&M, while down, I think they're different. Their down is different than a regular program's down like you're talking about, because Texas A&M would have probably won the Big 12. You could make that argument.
Sure.
And you said they suck. Well, they could have won. I mean, I just think their suck is different than the traditional idea of suck.
Yeah.
It's just different
yeah.
because they have better players that, yes, maybe it's not their best year. They're young, whatever, coaching chain, whatever it is. They have down years. There's no question. Auburn hasn't done a whole lot recently.
No.
But I still think it is nasty to go on the road to play at Auburn
yeah.
if you're in the SEC. It's
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
And it's not to go to freaking Purdue.
They do have more hostile environments, and they have more resources.
All right. Up next, we get to gripe about Juan Soto. Or Ron Soto. Have you ever heard of Ron Soto?
It's his brother.
Ron, who's the old Cub guy with the... Ron Santo.
Oh, Ron Santo.
Didn't he lose his arm or something? Lost his leg?
Did he lose a
limb?
Dave Dravecki?
He has no eyes or something? I don't know.
He's got a patch.
My eyes are very important to me.
Yeah, no, Juan Soto is being raked over the coals again.
Not by me.
Can you believe this?
I love him.
People just won't leave this guy alone. Or is it his own fault? That's next. Here's Will. All right. Now to some Juan Soto hate, which you won't stand for, but
no.
You're going to have to.
National League Player of the Month, Juan Soto, and
yes.
Biggest All-Star snub, Juan Soto?
That yeah, one, many that say he's the biggest All-Star snub. I don't know. I don't think he deserves to be on the All-Star team, but, well, I mean, he had one good month. Like, he was really struggling for a lot of the season, so he's a hell of a hitter. He just got a $750 million contract.
Yes.
Which, those aren't always worth it. But in, you know, look, he's earned it.
Mm-hmm.
He can hit that little baseball.
Well,
and it was a good deal for the Mets.
Yeah. The people say that he's struggling. He's hitting 270.
No, I said he struggled at the start.
I'm just saying, but in general, he's hitting 270 with 21 home runs and 52 RBI. If that is a struggling first half of the season.
Well, but I don't think it is because he had a really hot month. Yeah. What I'm saying is he was really disappointing, and you know this, even you were bitching about it. He was really disappointing until the last 30 days. But you, to your credit, you did say he will get it together.
He's going to be fine.
And he did.
Yeah.
That said, I mean, I kind of have always felt like he was a little overrated for what he makes.
I could see that.
But because he had, so I'm looking at his splits. Mm-hmm. I just want to read you his months real quick.
Well, let's say this. He's never been the best player in baseball, and yet he was worth $700
so here's what
million. Dollars.
So if you're going to pay a guy $750 million, mm-hmm. especially in New York, they're going to expect you not to hit 232 with two home runs in the month of April.
Yes.
He hit 232 with two home runs.
It was
then
bad.
In May, he hit 219 with six home runs. But in June, he hit 322 with 11 home runs, and he's been pretty good in July, so
yeah.
People have laid off of him.
Sure.
But the reason he has been, and when you make that kind of money, dude, you got to deliver, and yeah. He is starting to do that, and it's a long season, and come playoff time, it's really all going to come down to if he has a big postseason, every penny of that is worth it.
Yes.
Right? Because the Mets are a good team.
Yeah.
But they're going to need him in September and October. Well, why did I say September? They're going to need him in October. And I think the World Series
November.
Goes into November now.
You are correct, sir.
So we'll see what he can do. But I just always, I've watching him, like he had a couple years with the Yankees. Or was it only 1 year with the Yankees? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he got traded from.
Yeah.
From
oh, it was the Padres.
San Diego.
Wasn't he kind of. Didn't he have a down year with the Padres?
We'll look and see what he did with San Diego.
He might have been back in Washington. But anyway, he's already played for four teams.
Yeah.
And that's rare for a guy of his talent. At any rate, the reason he has been being raked over the coals today is because they asked him about his All-Star snub.
Yeah, that first year in San Diego wasn't great.
What did he do?
He played 2 years in San Diego.
Yeah, what was the first year?
Well, I mean, that was it was a partial because he got dealt. So when he was in San Diego, he only played in 52 games, but he hit 236 with six home runs and six. So when he got to San Diego, it was a little like, it wasn't great. And then he rebounded the next year, 275, 35, and 109.
Okay.
And then in New York, 288, 41, and 109. So
okay.
When he got to San Diego, it was a little bit of a dip. But he has been...
What's his best year?
His best year. So he finished MVP 2. So that would have been his 22-year-old season in Washington. He hit 313.
There we go.
With 29 and 95. And then the year in New York where he got paid, he hit 288 with 41 and 109.
Okay.
So.
But I mean, compared to like some of the numbers that are going up from Judge.
Yeah.
And.
Well, Ohtani. Shohei, and...
You know, it's not $800 million great.
No, no. You could make an argument that he is the sixth best player in baseball, and he gets paid Shohei money.
But like I said, come through in November, or in October or November, and you people won't care about that.
Yeah.
What he said today that is pissing people off is they asked him about his All-Star snub,
yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'm mad about it. Because there's a lot of money for me if I make it.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, dude, you just signed a $750 million deal, and the thing you're worried about not making the All-Star team is a $100,000 bonus?
Yeah.
That tells you a lot about Juan Soto, and that also tells you a lot about how he acted between the Yankees and Mets, where he got a lot of flack for the things that he was saying.
Yeah.
I think we're learning that Juan Soto is about one thing.
Yeah, it's
and it's Juan Soto.
It's Juan Soto. Well, one of the reasons supposedly that he chose the Mets over the Yankees was the luxury box.
Yeah.
So yes. the Yankees were willing to give him basically the same amount of money. They were going to give him $700 million. And he wanted a luxury box at Yankee Stadium, and he wanted it for free for his friends and family. And the Yankees said, we don't do that for anybody. We don't do it for Judge. We've never done it for Jeter. Like, Jeter didn't have one. You know, and they said, we can get you one, but you have to pay for it. And they said, we'll give you basically like the team. There's a team rate. Friends and family discount, and you can get a luxury suite. But they said even Derek Jeter paid for one. And Juan Soto apparently was very pissed off about that. Well, when he went to the Mets, supposedly the Mets were like, yeah, dude.
That's fine.
That's here.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah. So the idea, and I don't know what a luxury suite costs for a season at Yankee Stadium. Let's assume, I don't know, $500,000? Does that sound about maybe a million?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I would have no clue.
I couldn't tell you. Let's even say it's $1 million for a suite. And they're giving you the friends and family discount. So let's knock that down to maybe $700,000. Dude, you're getting paid $700 million.
Yeah. Right. You can buy a suite.
You can buy a suite. So like there has been some stuff like that. And then when he first got to New York, well, when he got to the Mets, he said some comments about how the Mets lineup wasn't the Yankees lineup and missing behind, you know, hitting behind Aaron Judge. And there were some Mets fans that were pretty pissy about that because he kind of seemed to be in a grumpy mood and he didn't seem that excited to be here.
He just doesn't
and
get
people
it.
Were like, dude, then why didn't you just stay with the Yankees? But some of that is gone away. And I don't know. I don't think he's the most lovable player in the world. Padre fans say that about
him.
He's
a donkey.
Yeah.
And
probably.
You know that.
Yeah.
But he's your donkey.
Yes.
So good luck with that.
Someone said, as a Padre fan, you can keep trash Soto.
Yeah, they hated him
yeah.
down there.
Yeah. Yeah, Padre fan here, another one, Juan Soto, great player, kind of a bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think anyone would argue. Juan Soto could hit 400 and lead the Mets to a World Series, and he would not be the most popular New York Met. I feel pretty confident about that. Like, I don't know any Mets fans that believe that Juan Soto is like their favorite player. And when you watch the games, it's not, there's not an abundance of Juan Soto jerseys at Citi Field. It's not. But you know what? Sports are filled with these sorts of guys. Not every player that's really good is beloved.
Yeah, I get that, but. Well, there's no but.
No.
I get that.
Well, I wish he was Ohtani. I wish he was Judge. Bonds was a giant ass. A giant ass.
Yeah, I feel like you're really trying hard to make excuses for, like, oh, well, it's okay. It just had. Yeah. That's not the point is, yeah. He's a douchebag.
You know who okay? He kind of reminds me of?
And he needed to be called out.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Is Manny Ramirez.
Yeah?
Manny was like that. Manny was about one thing and one thing only, and that was about Manny. And Manny was great. Manny could, peak Manny Ramirez was phenomenal. And yet he did this sort of thing. He didn't play hard. He didn't give a crap about playing in the outfield. A lot of comments about nothing really bothered him and I'm going to be fine. I'm Manny Ramirez. No one really, like, when Manny was on your team, you loved him. Kind of. You were just happy that he was out. Raking for you.
I think he was much more likable to the fans. I don't know what he was like behind the scenes.
Well, he had a big personality.
Exactly. And he had flair.
He had a flair.
His game was. Yeah. And that guy, I don't want to hear Manny Ramirez hitting ability in the same sentence as Juan Soto's because it's not. Manny Ramirez freaking raked. He'd hit like 330. Yeah. Soto, 275. No. Get that bitch ass out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Look at you.
Look at me.
Look at you crapping over 26-year-old. Juan Soto is amazing.
I think Juan Soto is good. He is not the hitter that Manny Ramirez was, and don't try to make that argument. Get out of here.
I will make that argument.
Get out of here. All right, we will wrap up the hour next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts.
Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, we got to move on to the club.
God, your Juan Soto bashing is done.
Yeah, it's over.
You'd give your right foot to have Juan Soto in Kansas City.
You know what? I would. You're right. I would.
I'd trade him for Bobby Witt.
Yeah, well, if you told me that, I'm not trading Witt for him. But you can. I tell you what, dude. I will trade every other Royal. All of them.
Yeah.
You can have every one of them.
Yeah.
Except for Bobby Witt and Caglione. And Caglione's hitting like 110. But
exactly.
He's young. So I'll take, I keep those guys. You give me Soto and you can have anybody else on our team.
I'm all right. No.
No?
The only one I want is Bobby! I do love Bobby Witt.
He's great.
He's great.
You know, the Mariners could have had it. Was it the Mariners? Oh, no, the Orioles could have had him.
Bobby Witt?
Yeah, because he went number two behind.
I don't know who. Oh, is
Adley?
Adley Rutschman.
Which, by the way,
He's having a rough year. Well, he's hurt now, but
Last year wasn't great either. Like Rutschman came in gangbusters, and then it was like,
Adley, and I cannot say a bad word about Adley Rutschman.
That whole family is great.
It's not in my DNA. No. I love him. I love watching him play. I think he's going to be really good. That said, could you make the argument that the Baltimore Orioles failed with that number one pick, considering number two was Bobby Witt?
Yes. It is.
I mean, that's tough to say about Rutschman because it's so early.
Yes.
But dude.
Yes.
You screwed up the pick.
You did. And I get Rutschman was can't miss. And, you know, the last two seasons, you'd like to think that it's all going to turn around, but yeah, Bobby Witt's the better player. And I don't think there's anyone. If you asked anyone in baseball if you had to take the next 10 years of a career, anyone taking
Adley? It's not that. Everybody knows. I mean, look, Bobby Witt is better than Adley Rutschman.
Yes, he is.
That's clear.
Yes.
But because of that, could you say that Baltimore screwed that pickup? Because that's a hard thing to say.
It's a hard thing to say.
Because Adley could still be really good.
Yes.
He could go on to a Hall of Fame career.
Yes.
But you left Bobby Witt on the table.
Yeah. Well, and this is going to be one of those that maybe the whole Jordan thing, right? Like, Sam Bowie and Jordan, but remember, it wasn't just that. Like, other teams passed on Jordan, too.
Yeah.
But one of those was Olajuwon, right? I think Olajuwon went ahead of Jordan. And did you screw that up?
Well, Sam Bowie was pretty good.
Until he got hurt.
Well, maybe that's Rutschman.
Yeah, well, I guess that's kind of my thing. Like, to me, that's the better. If Rutschman goes on to have a great career, right? And hopefully he does. To say that they screwed it up, did the Houston Rockets screw up? They had the number one pick, and they did not take Sam Bowie. They took Akeem Olajuwon. Then the Blazers took Sam Bowie. So, yes, the Blazers screwed it up. Did the Houston Rockets screw it up by taking Olajuwon over Jordan?
Mm.
To me, the answer is no.
No.
You didn't.
Well,
No. Like, Akeem Olajuwon won two NBA championships, is one of the 50 greatest players of all time. You didn't screw it up.
Well, and is Jordan... Well, you kind of did because...
Well, you didn't.
You kind of did, though. You could look at it like they did. That's the greatest player of all time until LeBron came along.
Okay.
Okay, and he won six rings, not two. But the question, then you say, well, would Jordan have been Jordan if he was there and not in Chicago?
Jordan.
And the answer is yes, he probably would have been. And yes, so, you did screw it up.
I'm not listening. The Blazers screwed it up. The Houston Rockets did not. So if Rutschman goes on to have a great career, he's not going to be Bobby Witt. They did not miss if he turns out. If this is the career arc that they're on, then yes. Yes, they missed.
Well, if you put it, okay, so I would just, it's all in how you say it.
Yeah.
I would say that the Olajuwon, obviously the Olajuwon pick was a good pick.
Yes, it was.
So it's hard to say that they screwed up the pick,
yeah.
But it also was not
the correct one.
The best pick that they could have made.
There's a difference. So
yes, there is a difference.
Well, if you took your life savings and you dumped it into Google, instead of Apple, did you make the wrong move? No, you're rich. You have a bunch of money. Would you have been better off putting it in Apple? Probably, right? Or you know, Bitcoin or whatever. You know, there's varying degrees of getting it right. There's a difference between getting it right, getting it all the way right, and getting it really, really wrong. The Blazers got it really, really wrong. You know who else got it wrong? The Dallas Mavericks, they took Sam Perkins. You know who went behind? It was Charles Barkley. They butchered it. So, you know, that's the Mavericks and the Bulls, or the Mavericks and the Blazers are the one that butchered that draft, not the, not the Rockets. You know, it's, if you end up with Charles Barkley or Akeem Olajuwon, you did not get it wrong. If you end up with Sam Perkins and Sam Bowie, yeah, you got it wrong.
All right, the club is next. We will talk about something that I learned today. About me.
That you hate Juan Soto, you irrational bastard?
It's not irrational to hate Juan Soto.
Yeah.
No, I gotta tell you something that I learned today. I think it's really freaking cool. And I'm happy about it.
Let's go. Let's go on this journey together.
I also have more on Lake Oswego, and what they're doing keep us poors out.
I like the fight going on between the poors.
It is so petty.
And the Oswegans.
Yes, the Oswegans. We will be right back with Club 1080 on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.